Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com. This is TWiT Photo with Catherine Hall, episode 29, recorded October 18th, 2011. Rick Salmon. TWiT Photo is brought to you by Netflix. Watch thousands of TV episodes and movies on your PC, Mac, iPad, iPhone, or TV instantly. All streamed directly to you, saving you time, money, and hassle. For your free 30-day trial, visit netflix.com/twit. And by Ford, featuring Wi-Fi connectivity with available sync and MyFord Touch. Now your car can be a Wi-Fi hotspot. Check it out in the new 2012 Ford Focus and at ford.com/technology. It's time for TWiT Photo. I'm back, baby. And you know who else is back? Rick Salmon is back. We're so excited. But first, let me say hello to Catherine Hall.
Hi,
because
Leo.
Because you did a shoot, a glamour shoot.
Oh, yes, we did. Last show. And you missed it.
And
we missed you so much.
And I'm devastated. Is there anywhere I can see the pictures?
You've got to go to last week's episode on twit.tv/photo.
So you can't miss a show.
No, you got to watch the episode.
Can't miss a show. Well, it's great to see you.
Yeah, good to see you, too.
And it's nice to have somebody in person.
Isn't it great?
Yeah, last time I was in New York, and now I'm here. Yesterday, we were at Google. I did a little fashion shoot with Catherine.
Did you?
Yesterday.
Yes, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You've been modeling more than you've been shooting. Catherine, is this a new career for you?
No. Just fun. Playing.
If you haven't seen Rick's previous episode of TWiT Photo, go back and look at that. Then go look at all his creative live videos. Go look at his website, and we'll see in a couple of years.
Okay.
He's a very prolific guy and a wonderful guy, and we're really glad to have you. And I gather we're going to actually do a little shooting here.
A little surprise in the store. So you have to stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
Yeah.
Before we do that, should we get to your tip of the week?
Yes, that would be lovely.
I've been dying for this.
need some tips, Rick, because frankly...
Tip is a little unconventional this time.
So Catherine Hall does this every week on her site, CatherineHallStudios.com. She picks...
love that.
So this wasn't...
picks a portrait. This is your portrait of the
week.
Yeah,
this isn't in India. And this is actually quite exciting. This is at a really small village in the middle of India. And I was invited out there. They had barely seen foreigners, so it was big deal for me to come out there, and everyone was really excited, and there was this big welcome, and they created this feast. Mm-hmm. And they were right next to the Ganges River, and so I'm thinking, oh no, everybody knows about the Ganges River, and it's not the cleanest river in the world. And so what are you going to do when people offer you food but you don't
know where it's been washed?
So I knew it was trouble, but I ate it anyway because I didn't want to offend anyone. And I was sick for the rest of my trip.
Is that why the little girl's crying? She knew?
No, she knew it was coming. But anyhow, so I was sick for the rest of the trip, and I was sick for 6 months after returning.
6 months? Wow.
6 months.
Oh, dear.
So my tip is follow your judgment. And
don't eat the food.
Yeah, no, but I mean, sometimes you feel like you need to be polite, and... But if you really know that something's not good and you shouldn't eat it, then you should...
That's an interesting tip.
Yeah.
That's a great tip.
And I want to hear what you do. You've been to over 100 countries as a travel photographer.
Actually, I was in Mongolia, and we went into this yurt. They also call them gears. And we were welcomed into this yurt or gear, and we had to drink fermented camel's milk. Okay?
Oh, boy.
Now, if you want to know what fermented camel's milk smells like, it tastes like, just leave some milk outside in July for about 3 weeks. But we had to do it. So sometimes you have to go along with that. It's part of the custom.
But I think that's different than if you... Because you knew the food wasn't contaminated.
I guess. I was hoping it wasn't.
It can happen anytime, to be honest. But all it's an interesting challenge, because you're right. If you want the cooperation...
You have to.
Well, I mean, I did a lot of work in Tibetan monks, and they gave you Tibetan tea, which is, like, not good at all. It's horrible. But I just kept drinking it.
It's yak butter tea.
It's like butter and milk and some things in it.
I think I'm just going to stay here and take pictures of people in Petaluma. Do you
it's
mind?
It's safe, right?
It's a lot safer.
Yeah, but I mean, if you're next to the Ganges and they're feeding you, you can assume that it's probably contaminated.
See, you learn a lot.
lot on this show. It's not just photography, right?
But all kidding aside, you have to take care of yourself.
When you get, like, I'm going to Kenya
in 2 weeks. Susan and I are going to Kenya in 2 weeks. We had to get a yellow fever shot, a typhoid shot. We had to get all these things. And if you don't get them, you know, actually, I'm over 60, right? I'm 61. I am.
You look fantastic.
So I'm getting the yellow fever shot. And right before the doctor gives me the shot, he says, I just have to tell you something. I said, what? He said, well, you're over 60. You could die from the shot. Wait, I'm getting the shot.
You're not exactly feeble, Rick. I think you're in good shape.
Right. Yeah. So anyway,
I am over 60.
That's the old 60.
But that's the old 60.
Yeah.
The new 60 is good to go.
Yeah,
I'm great.
But you have to take care of yourself for sure.
That's a good point. Yeah.
That goes back to when you are doing travel photography, take the proper precautions, get the shots, do all the things you're supposed to do, and be careful.
Don't eat the food.
What you eat.
Stick with the bottle.
Yeah.
Water. So now, there was a Ferrari shoot we talked about last week.
Yes. Everyone that's been asking me about it. I did not forget. We just didn't get to it last show. The studio that we worked in for the Sue Bryce shoot, Jade Studios, Philippe was nice enough to let us use the studio, and he showed us the shoot he did from there, which, by the way, isn't the studio insane?
This is on Treasure Island?
Yes.
The old naval base.
Oh, isn't awesome. This like the biggest dude stadium, dude studio? Like he's like, what's my dream
But nobody
studio?
Lives wow. here. This is no, just for shooting.
It's like a bunch of different rooms. Wow. And I know, it's amazing.
That
it's like
is
a playground.
Amazing.
It's like, yeah, it's so cool. So anyway, you can see that's the boudoir room. That's where we shot, and it looks totally different. So, you know, it depends on how you light it. But he did a really cool shoot that was a Kill Bill shoot, and they had a Ferrari in there, and we're going to pull up
some of the pictures from that if you want to see.
So,
now, was this an assignment or just for fun?
Yeah, I don't know. It wouldn't surprise me if he just did it.
I love the behind the scenes.
Is that kind of creative? But just some of the things that you can do, you know.
Well, it's all about the light, right? It's always all about the light.
And that's what we're going to learn today.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
From Rick Salmon. It's all about the light. And the props.
And the camera, and the photographer, and the model.
So leading into that, Rick, you always talk about, it's always about the light. It's about the light. So my question to you is, you say a lot, learn to see the light.
Right.
What does that mean, and how does one do it?
Right. When I say learn how to see the light, we have to learn how to see several different things. We have to learn how to see the contrast range in the scene, first and foremost. Then we could choose.
Stop. You move so fast. I gotta follow.
Oh, okay.
Contrast range.
Right.
First and foremost. Now, is that what, if I squint, does that help me see the contrast range?
Not really.
How do I see?
Only if you look like this, Leo.
How do I see the contrast
right.
range?
Right. You look for the dark and the light areas in the scene. So
you look for what's hot, and almost the histogram.
Well, the histogram will tell you what's bright and what's dark. But behind me, it's very dark, right?
Right.
I'm well lit here. But so if you're going to take a wide shot of me like this, right, with the dark and the light, that's high contrast.
Okay.
If the camera's just going to zoom in and do a tight headshot of me, it's low contrast because we don't have that dark.
So you're looking for the range of from light to dark.
Exactly.
And where the hot spots are, where the dark spots
are.
Got it. Okay. And step two.
Well, actually,
I want to learn this.
But this is good, Leo, because once you learn this, learn how to see the light, then you could say there is a high contrast range.
Yeah.
Then you can either use HDR, high dynamic range photography.
To try to capture the whole thing.
Exactly. You could use a flash to compress the brightness range.
Yeah, that's better if you keep it by ear.
Yeah. A flash to compress the brightness range.
Okay.
A reflector to compress the brightness range, or a diffuser to compress the brightness range, or change the light. So we have to learn how to see the contrast range. Then we know how we can compress that brightness range because, as Catherine knows, our eyes have a dynamic range of about 11 f-stops. So we don't see the big difference in the contrast range as much as the camera. So the camera has the best digital camera on the planet has a dynamic range of about 5 or 6 stops. So that's why we have to compress the brightness.
Now, if I use HDR,
how
many stops is that going to give me?
It depends. Most people just get into HDR, you know, as you know, they put their camera on 0, plus 2, minus 3.
Right.
Sometimes it's 9 exposures. You can take it back to that 11 f-stop range and even go beyond that with HDR.
Of course, it doesn't look natural, even though our eyes are 11. It doesn't look natural to have a picture that's 11. It looks a little odd.
Well, it actually sometimes it looks odd. If you want to have some fun, do a search on Google, type in "I hate HDR." You get like we were talking about.
But that's tone mapping, and that's overdoing it. But I'm saying, even if you're just trying to capture the dynamic range, not trying to make a painterly thing, even then, because it's just not quite, to see it all in one flat shot, it's not quite what our eyes are seeing.
Well, you bring up a very good point, Leo. You say flat, because by making this, capturing this, or creating this wide contrast range, your pictures look flat.
Right.
And I say, once you do that, add a little shadows back in, because light illuminates, shadows define.
So you're painting not just with light, but you're painting with
darkness. Right, right. So those shadows
light illuminates, but shadows
define. Right, right. If we didn't have any shadows here, look how flat this would look like. So flat.
Yeah, we have a lot of shadows.
That looks great.
No, so but we actually, I went for. Well, we had Brent Bry, who's our great lighting guy. I said normally television studios are very flat. They're perfectly lit.
Right.
And I said I want something that's more.
I
modeled.
Love this. Yeah, this,
oh, I love
something
it.
That looks
this
more.
This is nice.
I
love the contrast.
Well, look at if this was flat, you wouldn't see the folds in our shirts or anything like that, right?
Yeah,
so it's nice.
So how much was typically if you're doing an HDR shot? What are you bracketing?
Well, again, it depends. In here, because it's very dark, I would take more exposures, overexposing, so I could see. So sometimes it's 0, 2 over, 2 under. Sometimes it's 0, 2 over, then 2 under, 3 under, 4 under, 500. It's not always in the same direction from 0. So actually, I have
I guess if you were making the perfect HDR or trying to make, mm-hmm. you know, get everything, mm-hmm. you'd figure out what, maybe with a light meter even, figure out what the brightest thing is exposed for
right.
that.
Yeah, yeah,
figure
yeah.
out what the darkest thing is exposed for that, and then everything in between. That'd give you, at least technically,
use the spot meter. Yeah,
the way
yep,
to do
yep,
it.
The spot meter in the camera. That's a good tip. My friend Joe Brady uses spot meter all the time.
But again, that's pure technology, and it doesn't necessarily give you the feeling and the emotion. And that's where those shadows
that's where
make
you have
a difference.
Look, he's good. Because I say, actually, if you do, I have a search on my, if you go on my blog, ricksalmon.info, I have an article, HDR Must Know Info. HDR Must, I think the search window's up there.
Right there, yeah.
But anyway, one of the things I talk about, Leo and Catherine, is HDR is great. I love HDR. You know, I have an HDR book, I have an HDR app. But HDR can ruin the mood of the scene. Mm. And you don't want to ruin the mood of the scene, because as you just said, Leo, the mood, the feeling is the most important part of the image. So you have to decide, like if you're at a sunset, for example, or a sunrise, you may not want to use HDR because, yes, it'll open up the shadows, but you can't see in.
Yeah.
But you can't see in. I forget.
But how do you know? I mean, this is the conundrum with all retouching, is how do you know when to pull back?
It's a personal thing. It's a personal thing. You know, some people like that grunge effect. Some people don't like the grunge effect. So I say, you know, there's no such thing as a bad picture. It's really up to you.
So
it's like eating too much, you know, you go to a nice Italian restaurant, too much pasta, too much salt, too salty, not enough salt, right?
It's an art. Look, we're not saying you could do it all by the rule of thumb.
So can I ask
and of course,
a technical
if you have
question
one of
with that?
Rick's great books, you're going to be set.
If you're using aperture priority, and you're, because you use aperture priority a lot.
A lot.
And you're bracketing, you know, you go plus one, plus two, then you run out. So what do you do there?
You run out on automatic, but if you go
on
if you're on aperture,
that's because the stupid camel's trying to do the right, make a perfect exposure. We're not trying to make a perfect exposure, right?
Well, what Catherine's saying is, if you're on automatic, the bracketing runs out. So you could change that's the point of from zero, starting at zero. You could change it to starting at two, minus two, or plus two. But when that happens, you bring up an excellent point. What I do is I go to manual. I
so
shoot on manual.
Yeah. Okay.
The camera's trying to make a good picture.
Right,
it only has so much it can go above and beyond.
We're going to tell it, no, don't make a good picture. Expose for that bright light.
Right.
Everything else is going to be dark. That's okay. We want that.
So if we have to learn how to see the contrast range in the scene. Next, we have to learn how to see the direction of light.
Okay.
We know where the direction is coming.
Where's the main source? Or if there's multiple sources.
It depends.
Sources.
Like here, the main source is here. So we're front lit.
Right.
But
there's multiple sources. In fact, there's even a source back there.
Right.
So you got to know where all of it's coming from.
So you're seeing the light. So this is very good.
I'm trying to, Rick.
No.
So
you
have the key light. So for you.
Right. So we have the key lights.
The lights.
And then the fills.
Right.
Yeah.
We might have a background light. You know, if you look at the Renaissance paintings, right?
Yeah.
Look, most of the lights.
So this kind of looks Rembrandt.
Most of them come from one source.
They come from about 11 o'clock. If you look like
o'clock.
The Mona Lisa,
that's the classic.
This is actually
one
kind
light.
Of Rembrandt-y on me right now.
Yeah, you look very Rembrandtish.
Yeah, thank you, Brett.
Yeah, actually, we have a show coming to San Francisco to the DeYoung, the Venetian masters, and it's all Renaissance painting.
Oh, so you'll
and
see.
I'm going to go and I'm going to look. So look at how they handle the light source. Of course, they're making it up, really, right?
Well, Vermeer. You know, I have a picture on my site, the girl with the pearl earring. I
love that.
We
of
show that's one light. I have a friend, Frank Dorhoff.
Frank on episode.
Oh yeah, he was great. So he probably said this: when you think you need two lights, use one light.
Yeah.
When you think you need three lights.
Nice.
use one light.
Yeah.
Right? You don't need a lot of lights. When we go out there, we'll be using two lights. But you don't need a lot of lights.
So what are some things that people could do with one light to practice and play with to get started using lights?
That's one light.
Well, that's actually the painting of the girl with the pearl earring, but that's window light. There's a picture of him, his studio, and that's just nice, beautiful Rembrandt or Vermeer type side lighting.
Neat?
Yeah, yeah.
Isn't that neat?
So your question was, what can people do with one light?
Yeah.
Well, as we were doing yesterday, you know, at Google, you can move the light around. And remember the big difference it made yesterday when we moved it just an inch for some of those things, or 2 inches? So move the light around, and then you move around. Like yesterday we were shooting you. The light source was coming from this way. You were here. And then when the photographer moved just 6 feet over here or 4 feet over here, it made a big difference.
Yeah, I think as a beginning photographer, you can almost assume that the natural shot you're going to take is going to be the most boring.
Yeah.
Yep.
You walk up and you do the... And so you really got to take that shot if you need to. Get it. But then press yourself to try from different angles.
Mm-hmm.
Which actually kind of leads to one of the other things that you were talking about yesterday.
She's paying attention. She's good.
You got to be a spaceship.
She's a good sport. Yes. What I was saying.
So talk to me about being a spaceship.
She was the model. She was paying attention. That's even better. Yeah.
What I was saying is, use your camera like you would, like you're in a spaceship. Move it up, move it down, tilt it to the left, tilt it to the right.
Use all three dimensions, in other words.
Exactly.
Don't feel like it has to all be level.
Exactly. People come on my workshops, you know, they hold the camera on the tripod, that's it.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you're doing like, if you're at the beach, hold it down, you know, pretty close to the water. Be careful that you don't get spray on it, but hold it close to the water. Use that camera like a spaceship. You'll be amazed at the different type of pictures you get.
Yeah, and then that goes back to lens choice, too. You know, if we talk about, for example, 50 millimeters, what our eyes see with. Is it 50?
About 50, yeah.
Yeah, about 50. So if you're shooting at 50 and you're shooting, like if I walked up to you and I shot just like this, you can assume it's going to be the most boring thing. So it's exactly where our eyes see. And
it's the most pedestrian.
Yeah. So try not only different positions with lighting, like a spaceship, but then also...
Well, I like to shoot actually a little closer. So if you said a 50, I might shoot with a 35, because my number one tip for photographing people is this, that the closer you are to the subject, the more intimate the picture becomes. So if I'm photographing Leo, you know, with the 200 millimeter lens, there's no intimacy.
Right.
But if I'm up here right in front of you guys photographing you with the 17 to 40 millimeter lens, which is one of my favorite lenses.
You're right in my face.
Yeah, and I'm right in your face, but then I'm looking for a shot in here, maybe I could show you, where... The person looking at the picture can identify more with the subject because there's a greater sense of intimacy. I like to shoot close. You know, the cameras here are pretty close.
There is quite a debate, and I love this, between the 85 millimeter, you know, beauty shot.
Right.
And then I hear both sides of this, right? And then people like you who like to really get in there with a 24 or whatever and really get a 35 and really get in there. And it's going to be a different looking shot, of course.
And I think what I like to do is when I go to like a foreign country, I'll take a portrait like you're talking about with the 85 millimeter
lens. Because you don't want to get in their face too quick.
No. I'll take the portrait, then I'll take what I call the environmental portrait. I'll take the subject of the person in the environment. So if you shoot it both ways.
Got it. Do you actually change the lens?
Well, I always have two bodies.
Uh-huh. So you have a wide and a long, and you're ready to go back and forth.
And the last thing you want to do is when you're traveling is waste the person's time.
Right.
So if I see a set that I want to do, like I was over in Kenya, and I wanted to photograph this woman and get a nice profile of her in the doorway of her hut, I put one of the assistants in there. So I got everything set up so she could come in, bang, that was it.
So you're getting so close to people. How are you keeping them comfortable around you?
This is great, by the way. You did a duplicate of the girl with the pearl earring.
Yeah, that was my... and we can learn a lot from the masters. We can learn so much from...
I should just go and shoot all those Venetian paintings, like recreate them all here in the studio.
Yeah. You can do it. I mean, I think if I could do it with one light, anyone can do it.
That's really cool.
But your question was, how do I get?
Well, I mean, you're obviously it's easier to shoot people from far away, like with a zoom.
Well, it is, but I like that intimacy.
But with the intimacy, I'm just wondering, how do you keep people comfortable with you?
You have to get the person to like you,
and how do you,
or
do that?
At least accept you.
This is a great shot because this guy doesn't like you at all.
No, he doesn't like me.
But you're right in there, and you wouldn't have gotten that look probably if you were, 10 feet away.
This picture was taken in a hotel room, actually. This is like with the Westcott lighting system, just one light. Yep. Light illuminates, shadows define. But to answer your question, I do magic tricks. Susan will I'll tell you that I bring magic tricks. There's a picture somewhere on my blog where I'm doing magic tricks for these monks in Bhutan. So I'm doing magic tricks for half hour.
Last time you were on, we showed you. We showed that.
Right. Yeah, yeah. So well, I'll do magic tricks. I'll show pictures of my son.
Yeah.
You have to get the person to like you. I would never do what I know some photographers do. You know, they just grab people and, you know, just go up to them and just take.
How much time are you spending with them typically before you bring out
it
your camera?
It depends on how much I want the shot. If I really want the shot, I'm going to spend a lot of time. But I really wanted the
month. What's a lot of time?
Maybe a half hour.
Okay. All right. So we just looked at that black and white photo. When do you decide to go monochromatic?
Well, when you take the color out of the scene, you take out some of the reality. When you take out some of the reality, our pictures can become more artistic and more creative. So if there's not a lot of color, I will go. Like the picture I took of you yesterday, there wasn't a lot of color in it. So what I did is I made that black and white monochromatic. Whenever I get a picture that I like, I'll change that into whenever I get a picture I like, I'll change it into a black and white just to see.
Because
when we remove that color, we can make a picture that looks a little more creative, a little more artistic.
We're talking with the great Rick Salmon. We're going to do a photo shoot in just a little bit. We're actually going to demonstrate a little bit of this. I love the combination of technique with lighting, but also of I guess it's still technique, but how you relate to people.
It's so important. Yeah.
They both go together, but we're going to do more of that in just a second. I want you to stick around because we're going to actually get up and walk into the other room, and Catherine's going to be a model.
Yes.
Yeah.
Great model.
I'm excited. Before we do that, I want to talk about Ford Motor Cars. I'll tell you what, you know I drive a Ford very happy. Love my Ford Mustang. And Ford is just kicking it. They're just crushing it, in the words of our good friend Gary Vaynerchuk, with amazing technology. I want you to go to Ford.com/technology, and you can see some of the amazing things Ford's doing with its newest cars. For instance, the 2012 Ford Focus, which is a Wi-Fi access spot, an actual floating Wi-Fi access spot. You plug in a 3G card into the USB port in the console, the center console, or sometimes it's on the front dash there, and you can now get that 3G access to everybody in the car. They've got antennas throughout the car. They give you, it's amazing, five people at the same time using the Wi-Fi in your car. That's just one of many ways Ford is taking you in the consumer electronics experience and putting it in the car. It's on available sync with my Ford Touch on the new Ford Focus and be many others. We just drove on vacation. I was driving an Edge, and I love the my Ford Touch. Tell you what, go to this site and learn more about how Ford is pushing the boundaries of what vehicles can do these days with sync, where you think Siri in your iPhone 4S is cool. Imagine talking to your car, setting the temperature in the car, telling it what to play, asking it for road conditions, weather forecast. You could do all of that with the great sync. My Ford Touch takes it to the next level. I just love what they've got going on. And of course, high tech also means engines that give you amazing fuel economy. I want you to go to Ford.com/technology, learn about what Ford is up to today, and then take a test drive at your nearby Ford dealer. You're just going to love these new automobiles. Whoops, let me do it again. I typed in the wrong URL. Ford.com/technology to see their latest green engines, high-tech consumer electronics, and all of the Ford vehicles. Ford.com/technology. We love them, and thank you for supporting Twit Photo. We appreciate it, Ford. How do you want to do this, Catherine? Should we save the getting up and walking for a little bit later on? When do you want to get up?
Yeah, let's get up in a second.
Okay, you tell me. I'm ready.
Keep the suspense.
I'm ready.
Keep the suspense.
I'm ready.
All right, maybe we should just go now.
No. Did you ask him yet about the 1D? Are you a Canon shooter?
I'm a Canon Explorer. I'm very proud, actually, to be a Canon Explorer of Light.
How long have you been an Explorer of Light?
I think for at least 8 years.
That's quite an honor.
Is that like a special deal? Like you got
that's
a
like
medal?
One of the biggest honors, I'd say, for any sponsorship.
It is because what I do is and what the other Explorers do, and you know, talk about respecting other photographers. You know, these guys are the best of the best. So I'm humbled and honored to be in there. But we go around and we give lectures, we give seminars, we give workshops. It's a lot of fun, and I have to tell you, it's just very, very cool to be a Canon Explorer of Light.
What do you think is the thing that people you know, there's certain things that you teach that people just really grasp on and they go, this revolutionizes, this is going to revolutionize the way I think and shoot. What's like the most responsive tip that you've given in all the workshops you've done?
I think the most responsive tip is that you read the book Outliers.
Yeah.
You read the book Outliers.
Malcolm Gladwell, yeah.
He talks about that you have to practice 10,000 hours. A lot of people don't realize that they'd be 1,000 times better if they practiced 1,000 times more.
Yeah.
Right? So
yeah.
I encourage, what I try to do actually when I go around is I try to motivate people to go out there and practice. Keep a camera with you every day. Give yourself a self assignment. Work with shadows. We were talking about shadows before. Spend the weekend with one lens, that 50 millimeter lens, and do practice doing shadows. But I cannot tell you guys how many people come on my workshop and they have, oh, can you help me? I don't know what custom function 42 does. You know, you have to know what your camera does. So I try to encourage people also to follow your heart. I said before about HDR and some of this other stuff. It's all subjective. It's all valid. If you like it, you like it. You know, like rap music isn't my favorite music, right? Classical music isn't my favorite music. Opera isn't my favorite music, but, you know, there's still great forms of art.
Well, it's interesting, off of that really quick, you mentioned, you know, I get this question all the time when I'm doing seminars, is how do you define your style?
Right.
You know, how do I get a style?
Right.
And it really just comes right back to what you just said. Practice, 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 practice. And then your style, like you were saying, everything's subjective. How much HDR do you use? How much color do you use? How much black and white? It all comes naturally.
Well, you have a style, and a lot of photographers have a style. I tell people my specialty is not specializing, because I think, in just like with your investments, right? Do you have all your investments in one place?
So
no.
Diversify.
You got to diversify. So that's, this works for me. It doesn't work for everybody.
But you can still have a style with diversification.
Well, absolutely. Listen to this. This is my best line about style. Don't delete your out-of-focus pictures, because one out-of-focus picture is a mistake. 20 out of focus pictures is a style. It's true. Really. This is a true story.
So when Eric says my style's mediocrity, you agree with him? That's a style.
I was in the Metropolitan Museum of Art with my wife about 10 years ago, and I'm in there, and there's a picture on the wall. It might be a famous picture, and the caption was loo paper. Right? Like toilet paper. And it's a black and white. The person had a very slow shutter speed, and they shook the camera where they took a close-up of the roll of toilet paper. And it's in the Metropolitan Museum of Art. Okay?
I know.
Who knows?
So what is art?
It's,
right?
Yeah.
That's what happens to me.
Beholder. So we were talking about this new 1D. This is it. They just announced this. $6,800 bucks for the body.
Mm-hmm.
Do you shoot a 5D or a 1D?
I shoot the 5D Mark II.
Yep.
It was like the video. And I shoot the 7D.
You like the 7D for video or for both?
For both. When I'm going on safari, I mentioned that I'll use a telephoto lens on the 7D because you're not really getting closer, but it's met with that
image. Because the crop factor, you get
more. It seems like you're closer. Yeah. And I'll use the 5D Mark II for my fisheye lenses, my wide angle lenses.
Right. So you like that full frame sensor.
I love the full frame sensor, but the crop sensor is also really good. Again,
that's the big story on the 1D is they finally have a full frame sensor on their pro body. And of course, that's the body you can bang around. You can get wet. I mean, that's the whole idea. And they're going to have an ISO, look at that, of 204,800.
Well, you know what? I'm glad you brought that up, because I was photographing the horses on the beach.
Yeah.
And it was low light. And I was up at, like, you know, I forget what it was, 6,000, 6,400, something like that. And someone said, how can you be shooting it like that?
Right.
Well, I said to them two things. One, I don't worry about noise anymore, because we can do such a great job of reducing it in Photoshop, Lightroom, or aperture. But my father, who taught me photography originally, had a great expression. Well, there wasn't noise then, it was grain and film. He said, if a picture's so boring that you notice the noise or the grain, it's a boring picture, right?
It was bad to begin with.
Yeah, David Hamilton, Robert Farber, they built their reputation on soft, grainy, out-of-focus pictures.
Point. That's a good point. Yeah, and you got these great shots, too. I mean, they're just, you know.
Well, here's these, although thank you very much. These pictures illustrate an exposure tip, which is always expose for the highlights. You don't want the highlights overexposed and washed out. You mentioned the histogram, Leo, before.
Yeah.
I'm always having the histogram moved over as much to the right without a spike, because most of that information actually is, well, I'm going to do it for the audience, is over on the right.
Now, this is, okay, so this is interesting. So here, when you expose for the highlights, you're exposing for the sun, of course, and the reflection of the sun. Mm-hmm. You're losing, though, those the detail on the riders.
Well, I was shooting for a silhouette, and actually, we set up this shot. This is taken at the California Photo Festival. We were going for the sunset type shots.
You wanted this kind of a shot.
Right, we wanted that dramatic silhouette. Again, you know, when you take out the detail, once again, we're taking out some of the reality, because our eyes could see the rider.
Yeah.
But again, so it becomes more artistic. But behind us were these beautiful sand dunes, and before this, we had the horses riding around in the sand dunes.
So are you shooting this as a non-silhouette first?
So as a what?
Do you shoot it only as a silhouette, or are you saying, okay, I'm going to try different
things? I wanted a silhouette.
So you knew.
Right.
And so you set the goal, as you always do.
Well, Catherine and I, you know, she was at Google yesterday, and I said, it's so important to set goals. If you don't set goals, how do you know where you're going? Like you were before we got going, you set the goal to get the lighting.
When you say set goal, is it like pre-visualization when you say
yes.
that? You're thinking about what the shot is that you want?
Right. Okay. Right. You're thinking about, like Ansel Adams was very, very big on that, right?
Right.
So I'm saying, okay, I like this shot, going back a little of this one, right? So I wanted the shot with all the hooves off the ground.
Ah.
I didn't want to.
You pre-vised, I want all hooves in the air.
I want the hooves in the
That's
air.
That's great.
I didn't want to decap. It sounds funny, but it's a good way to remember it. I didn't want to decapitate the rider, you know, because if that horizon line was going through the neck, it would look funny. I wanted to expose for the highlights. I composed using the rule of thirds, right, where the tic-tac-toe grid is over there.
Yeah.
And so setting that goal, knowing I had to use a rapid frame advance on my camera, AI servo focus, which is like focus tracking. So you set the goals. Then, this is what we were talking about with outliers before, it's got to become like point-and-shoot photography.
Right. You know what you're going for.
Right. If Santana was here, Eric Clapton was here.
They don't think about it.
No.
Exactly. They play it.
They just play it. And that's what photography must become.
Well, and I think it's interesting, too, as digital has evolved and it's so cheap to shoot.
Right.
People just start shooting, firing before they really actually think about the shot.
Well, you bring up a very good point. I've been on workshops where people use a shotgun approach, where it's like that all over the place. I use a bow and arrow approach, right? If you're targeting, you're setting that goal, you're targeting the shot.
I'm a shoot and hope kind of guy.
Shoot like
and pray.
You know what?
How's that working out for you?
Not so good.
That's an HDR shot.
Yeah. But nicely, tasteful HDR.
Well, we could go realistic or surrealistic and everything in between.
Right.
It's really up to you. Here, I think the subject really suggests the effect.
Right.
Right here, I wanted the natural look. If you're doing a bunch of, maybe a dilapidated building, the grunge effect would look really good.
Yeah. So I have something to tell you that's kind of unfortunate. So just brace yourself. I saw some of your images, but it had a different person's name on them.
This happens sometimes nowadays.
Really?
And you put so many images online and you make them so available.
It's a Minolta campaign.
How old?
1980s.
Now he's pissed.
1980s.
1980s.
Am I striking a chord?
Well, from 1980 to 1990, I did head up the Minolta camera account, and
you used a pseudonym.
Actually, I didn't use a pseudonym, but I was in a suit and tie.
Oh, well,
for 10 years, 1980 to 1990.
Who the hell is this guy?
But I'll tell you what.
Did you wear funny shoes at least?
No, shine shoes and a vest.
Oh, my goodness.
But, you know, if you go to my homepage, this is really interesting. I'm glad you brought this up, because if you go to, home.
Yeah.
There you go. Okay. So scroll down to the bottom of this, please.
Okay.
And Real Magic. That's what I want you to see.
Oh, my.
No. It's a book. Go.
Keep going. Okay. Up.
There you go.
There it is.
Real Magic. I was working in the advertising agency from 1980 to 1990. Bozell, Jacobs, Kenyon, and Eckhart, one of the top advertising agencies in the world.
How you started was you did ad stuff.
Well, you mentioned last time that I was probably a good business person. I probably learned it somewhere.
Yeah.
So
That's
where I learned. I learned it. But this book, Real Magic, you know, this
Wayne Dyer is amazing.
Well, this philosophy helped me. I didn't like what I was doing.
Yeah.
So I made a plan after 5 years to get out of the advertising business and to do what I want to do. And what Wayne Dyer talks about in Real Magic is that if you start living the life you want to live, that can become your life. So I used to go on vacations with the safari jacket and all this stuff. I took so many vacations, I finally got fired. So it's true.
It happened.
It made your life.
No, I can't believe
that. And if you believe in yourself, I think, and actually as a parent, I think that's the most important. You have a daughter who goes to college.
I do, very near you. Yeah.
I think the most important thing you can impart to a kid is, falling off here, is a feeling of self-esteem, self-confidence.
Get Rick Salmon to take a picture of her, and she looks so good, she's going to have nothing but self-esteem.
That's crazy about this photo is that it took him like 2 seconds. It was one light, and we were in this crowded room with a bunch of people.
This is the Google shoot. Yeah. This is Catherine, by the way.
We have a behind-the-scenes shot.
Yeah, let's show you the setup.
Yeah, look at this. We just one light.
Just lay on the floor. I said, okay.
Just lay on the floor, take your shoes off. She laid down, and we're just using one light.
That's amazing.
And we got this like fashion type look.
This is such a good looking shot.
Isn't that a nice shot? And like Catherine said, it was like, well, I've done it a million times.
It was, yeah.
So, you know, again, the outliers.
So anyway, I did hear, and I could be wrong, that you, when you were working there, you were putting your images under fake names because you weren't allowed to publish through. Is that not true?
No.
Wow.
You got to fire
your researcher.
Got to
get my fact checkers. Got to fire them. I see your pile of books, and I wanted to mention Jerry Harris, among others, have tweeted in saying how much they love your books.
Oh, well, thank you.
This would be a good one to start with, The Field Guide to Digital Photography.
Yep.
I love that. That's like the first one, right?
That's actually one of the last ones.
One of the last ones.
And speaking of last, I'm done with books.
Yeah, I know. Because they're history, aren't they?
Well, you have the hottest HDR app out there.
Look at this. If you shoot with a compact camera, it's not too late. I was going to ask you. You said shoot 10,000 hours. This counts? Does my camera phone count?
Yes. And look, this is a picture of the horses where you can see it. That's the other side.
That's the other side. Oh, that's right. So the light's behind you.
I'm so glad you said that, Leo, because so many people say, oh, no, I don't have a camera. I just have a camera phone. I said, fantastic.
Yeah. Especially these new iPhones. Yeah. They're so good. I mean, that's a great camera. And that's
my favorite book, Exploring the Light.
This is like the philosophy.
So if anyone could have any book, I would say
it's Exploring the Light.
And then what about any app?
Any app?
What's your favorite app?
I would say my favorite app is, well, it's my most popular app, Rick Salmon's 24/7 Photo Buffet. But you know what I wanted? Can I throw in something here? We're not dashing off to the studio. If you have apps out there or books, you have to have a tough skin. Because, you know, sometimes you get bad reviews. I put a ton of stuff on YouTube. I think 24/7 Photo Buffet has like a 5-star rating or 4.5-star rating. So listen to this. So I put this stuff on YouTube, and people are mean
on YouTube.
So this guy says to me, I'm putting out all this free stuff, hours and hours, dozens of hours. The guy says, if I had a voice like Rick Salmon, I'd kill myself.
Right? Don't focus on that, Rick.
Right? I'm not, but, you know, it...
Well, let me tell you, we have no negative reviews this show. None.
Oh, that's good.
No, she's lying, believe me. You can't do anything
with
that.
But the thing is the positive people, they just make, you know, they make up for it.
So,
listen to the good people.
I think we should get up in the
I think we should pull a Kelby.
Pull a Kelby?
Yeah.
What's a Kelby?
We'll find out.
Scott Kelby did this to us. We were sitting here doing the show, and he said, all of a sudden, he says, well, let me show you. And he gets up, and he starts walking out of the room. So we're going to pull it. We now call that pulling a Kelby.
Okay. Let's see if we don't.
I'm going to disconnect.
Okay. You're wireless. There's our cameras. We're going to walk over here. Hello. We're going to pull a Kelby. We've never done this before. Now how do you like my lighting, huh?
Oh, man.
Go ahead. I'll let you go. Meanwhile, while we're walking, I might want to mention that this show brought to you by Netflix, netflix.com/twit, 30 days free. It's the best deal in streaming video. Lots of great movies on Netflix. And if you're a photographer, I think that movies are also a great way for you to see great photographers, great cinematographers.
Great lighting,
especially some of the old noir stuff, the black and white stuff. Amazing. So netflix.com/twit for 30 days free. Now, we're out here in the lobby of the Brick House, and by the way, I guess you guys decided the bricks would be a good backdrop, and I agree with you. Can I be your assistant, Rick?
You could definitely be my assistant, Larry.
All right, whatever you
have. Rick, would you like me to take this off or keep it on?
You can leave
it on.
We're just going for like a fun shot.
Okay. You know, sure.
So, Catherine, we're going to need two people to hold flashes.
All right. So, okay, so Leo, you want to help out?
Leo? Okay. You're going to be helping the flash.
Actually, Leo's
tomorrow. All right, I'll hold the flash. And by the way, we're using some very high-quality materials here.
Yeah, actually, this is the first time. You know, you guys are very special. You're very nice. I'm introducing this on the show. This is called the Rick Salmon Light Controller. Actually, this is a compact model. Next weekend on Creative Live, I'm introducing a more sophisticated model, but I'm selling these for $49.95.
Good deal.
So can you put, you're so kind to put all the links, you know, for all my, can you put a link?
People are going to think you're serious,
but,
Rick.
But if you order in the next 20 seconds, I'll send you 80 of these for $49.95, okay? Anyway, this got a little
So better. What am I going to use this for?
You'll see.
All right.
So my number one tip when it comes to flash photography is, Catherine, what is it?
Get the flash off the camera.
So I'm going to take, and by the way, I'm shooting tethered. I'm using this little device from a Tethered Tools here. And what it does, it prevents you from pulling this out of the camera. But so anyway.
So are both devices from Tethered Tools? Or?
No, this is just from Tethered Tools. This is just the cable that you could buy wherever. Yeah. I'm plugging this into my MacBook Pro here. And I'm using Canon Digital Photo Professional here. As you can see, I don't know if you can see. What's your name again, the cameraman?
Jeff.
Jeff, can you see this?
Yeah.
This shows us our f-stop shutter speed combination, our white balance, all this other stuff.
Even in the field, would you like to shoot with something like that? If I were
doing a movie outside a production, you know.
Certainly that's how they shoot movies. They want to see output.
So I put this in a tent, have some wine and cheese around in the tent. You know,
oh, I like that.
So let's see what happens.
Okay, not everyone's going to know. So what is this cable?
Yeah, this is just basically a USB cable. It plugs into the port of your camera.
Does it come with the camera or is it something?
No. This is an accessory. And actually...
And it goes all the way back to the laptop.
Actually, it wasn't long enough, so I had to use... I sell this duct tape, too, for $99.95. Okay, you could order this off my site. So anyway, this is about, I don't know, a 20-foot cable.
All right.
So let's take a boring shot. Let's see what
this
happens.
This is that shot that Catherine was talking about, the first shot you see. Flat, boring.
Yeah, flat, boring.
This is the shot Leo takes, and then he moves on.
Are we under any time constraint here, by the way?
Pardon me?
Are we under any time constraints here?
I'll give you 10 minutes. Is that enough?
Okay, sure. So look at this.
Can you transform the effort in 10 minutes?
So look at this boring shot. What I'm going to do is I have a Canon 580 EX2 flash, and I had to increase the flash output by +1 because, hey, join the party. Come on in. So what happens is that reflection underexposed you, okay? So come back here, please. You're doing
it. We're exposed to so much that I don't even see anything on the screen.
It's a little dark.
Yeah, I mean,
so
it's
what I'm
pretty
gonna
dark.
Do, okay. It is dark. Maybe I'm going to have to go to... Okay, it looks fine.
So the camera's not doing this automatically here? I mean, what's the
deal? Well, I'm shooting that ETTL. The camera's set on manual. The camera's set on manual. The flash is on automatic.
So the flash is doing what the camera says to do, or?
The flash is still working on automatic.
I got it.
Okay? So the camera's on manual, flash is on automatic. So +1 was a little too much. Let me go to, and that's the beauty of.
Show the screen, because you can see how overexposed +1.
This is a variable output flash. So try one more time, and I can get rid of that flash, by the way, that reflection if I shoot at an angle. So this is a better exposure. But right, she looks pretty good. But it's pretty boring. So let's see what happens. Let's see what happens if we take, following my advice, taking the darn flash off the camera. Now, when you take the darn flash off the camera, if I had the Canon 7D, I could fire the flash from the flash inside. A lot of cameras let you do that.
Neat. So it has a built-in remote trigger.
Right.
That's nice.
But what I'm using here is it's called a Canon STE2. It fits in the hot shoe.
This is a radio trigger.
I have radio triggers. I have pocket wizards over there. Outdoors, you want to use a radio trigger.
Okay.
Because this is infrared. The light's going to bounce around in here. I can trigger the flash.
So the flash, I'm going to turn the flash on now. So
you turn that flash
this
on.
This is just another 580 EX2. This is just a speed light.
Right, this is a 580 EX2. I'm going to put this one on full power.
Okay.
Now, I have to put this on slave, okay, channel A. This one, I have to go back this way, and I have to put this on channel A.
By doing it with infrared, you only need one trigger for two flashes, because you both see the infrared. You
right.
Can do as many flashes as you want.
If you have the space shuttle in here, we can light with tons.
Right.
Okay? But again, this...
But outdoors, that's not going to work so
this
well.
Doesn't work. You need, like, the...
radio. Got it. Well, that's
radio.
That's actually a good tip.
Okay.
So for indoor shooting, we'll use the infrared trigger.
Right. Now, when you use the pocket wizards, the amazing thing there is the camera thinks the flashes are still on the camera, so it communicates all the controls.
The TTL stuff.
Okay, so what we're doing here is, this is one of the best accessories you could buy for a flash. If you look at it this way, it's a grid. Okay, like we have the grids on the lights in there.
Yeah, we do this on the lights.
I'm going to buy one of those today.
It kind of channels the light so it doesn't spill around.
Right.
It's almost aiming it.
It does aim the light, as you'll see. Now, I have a grid over there, this honeycomb pattern. The holes aren't as close. You want one. This is from Honnel, a company called Honnel. You want it close. Now, over here on Leo's flash, I have
a very high-tech operation over here.
Yeah, he has a Honnel. We have a gel over here. Let's watch the wires. I'm lucky to come over here. I have all these different color filters.
Oh, you carry those with you in a wallet.
Well, that is cool.
Well, I knew I was coming here, you know. Come on, this is a classy operation. I just couldn't.
And you buy these at camera supply store?
You can get a discount off my site, Pixama.info on them.
Okay, great.
What we're going to do is this. We saw, is the boring shot still there? Look at this. How boring could this be?
What can we do? Besides having a gorgeous model.
Right. Okay, so with this, we need the assistant over here.
All right.
Should I stand in the original spot?
Greg is going to help out here. Greg is at our front desk. He's our receptionist.
I want you to aim this right at about there. Okay? And go like this with your hands. And then you want to look this way?
Where are you going to have me look that way?
Yeah. That's fine. Your body's facing this way.
Yeah.
And you're going to use the Rick Salmon lighting controller, Leo.
The grid?
The grid. You're going to hold this about... Okay. Like this.
Okay.
Now, when you're doing this, you have to be careful not to cover this.
I'm not going to cover the infrared.
When you're using this, if you're using the pocket wizards, it doesn't matter.
And why are we using the contraption that you made?
You'll see.
She said contraption.
It's not a contraption. This is $49.95.
Did you ever see the TV show Lost?
Yes.
Did you see Lost?
Of course.
The hatch. You know the hatch. I spent months in a hatch developing that.
This is like the hatch here.
All right.
So it's
nameless.
Almost there. We're going to point this. I want to create this like pattern on the wall.
It'll be behind her. Okay.
Right. Now, if you hold it close, it's going to do nothing.
Right.
But if you hold it back, what I'm going to try to do is create this. You know what? Let's try like this. Try to make it look like lines.
Okay. Oh, that's good.
Oh,
that's good.
Now,
so this is just a little effect we're doing.
This is effect. An effect. Now,
the light will come from
if she's overexposed, from the camera, what I can do is I can control the output of the flashes. Okay, or I could do it on the flash. You're looking good. Just hold this hand up a little. The reason I do that is if your hand's down like this, you never want to touch the model, by the way. This is a good tip. Put your hand down. You don't want to amputate people at the joints. This is a nice photography tip. Okay, so hold that up. Let's see if magically we could get this right the first time.
Mine fired. I felt it fire.
Okay, look at this shot. Leo, come on over.
What's going to happen here? Let's see. Oh, look at that. Holy cow, that's so much more interesting. Look at that.
It's not bad. So
that's pretty awesome.
So what
the blue blinds.
We have the light coming. Now, we could put an orange filter.
Great, you just dropped it.
It wasn't the flashlight.
That's okay. You break it, you buy it here. That's your philosophy, actually. And that's just attached with it.
That is really beautiful.
It's really beautiful. So we have that one light direct falling on her. It's harsh light, but I wanted that harsh light. Okay? One of the things that makes pictures nice are props.
To be a model and something like that.
It's fun.
It just comes out so great.
We're
going to give our plan out now. All right.
We're going to go back.
Oh, no.
And let's see if we can do the blinds. Leo, you are just awesome with this. Are you available? I'm going to Pango
I'll help
you
anytime.
I'm going to actually Tiger's
Nest. You could sell Leo with the device out of the next $100.
Do you think you could sell
him a holder?
Yes.
Okay.
$29.95.
Now I'm going to tell you something. Okay, Karen. Catherine, do this again, please. Okay. And go on the phone and talk.
Okay.
I like you talking and looking at this. Look mad. You know, like, there you go. That's what we move this hand up. We don't want.
Oh yeah, no.
And Leo, let's see this. Okay.
I was blinking. I'll act.
Okay.
Oh my gosh. I don't know what I did with the blinds wrong, but.
I'm glad you. It's still okay, but when you're doing this, you want to cut down on the number of variables. So if I were doing this like professionally, you put down a tripod, put that on a stand.
Because I'm doing it differently each time.
But having, I don't want to do that. You know, having this voice act, these two voice activated, you know, flash systems.
That's not so good.
No, the voice activated systems are really good. So that's a pretty, you know, easy technique. I forgot to tell you this. In the boring shot, let's take a natural light shot. I'm going to turn this off. I'm on manual here. No,
I hide my hide mine too?
It's not going to go off. I'm going to boost this up here and just take a natural light shot. Okay, here's just the average shot. You have a reflection here.
Yep.
You have light coming in here. None of this light affected this nice portrait we had.
How'd you get that stuff out of there?
It's magic. No, what you do is here. I'm shooting at 1,000 at ISO 1,000. Before, I was shooting at ISO 100 and a relatively high shutter speed, and not higher than a 200th of a second because the flashes won't fire with the system, and a small aperture. So if I took,
you desensitized the camera to light.
So what I did.
And so lights overpowered the other
ones. If I go. I was just trying to fill up some time, but that definitely is exactly what I was doing. But here, if I go back to 100 here, when you're doing this, you want to do a test. So when you take a picture in your studio, it looks like that. You don't see the dark. Right. So if you have like fluorescent lights, mixed lights, so we're getting rid of the color of the light.
The point where you can't see the stuff you don't want to see, and then you use the flash to illuminate what you do want to see.
Exactly.
Very cool.
Yeah, it's
wow.
fun.
What
and
a
got
neat
a phone
effect.
Out of this.
And you gotta,
yeah,
you
let's
gotta
go back and sit down.
Okay.
That is a neat effect. Anything else you want to show, or is that?
I think that's for a quick demo.
That's pretty good.
Yeah,
demo.
That's pretty good.
That's a pretty good demo.
What's an assignment
neat.
You could give out?
Try to make some of these yourselves, actually. But also, you know, you could spend a lot of money. I went to Home Depot originally and bought Venetian blinds for $44 to get something like this. Right. But I didn't have time to make this because we just decided on this yesterday. But get a piece of cardboard, put a plate over it, and cut a circle. Then hold your flash like this, and it'll create a nice oval.
Oh,
now, you could create this in Photoshop, but why not get it right, as Frank Dorhoff says, why not get it right in camera?
Right. Okay. That's very cool.
Okay.
We call those in the studio lighting go-go's, where they're cutouts and you put a light through.
Right.
But you can do it with cardboard, you can do it with anything you want.
Now, we should tell people that one of the reasons why this came out like that is because we did a test.
Oh, you cheated. You rehearsed.
Well, we rehearsed.
We never rehearse here at Twit. We never rehearse. Well, that was a very neat effect, I have to say. And it's fun to do. We pulled a Kelby.
Our friend Scott Kelby.
Now, you're going to be doing one of these creative live presentations.
Yes.
Soon, right? In the next couple of days?
I'm going up to Seattle. Today's Tuesday. I'm going up on tomorrow to set up. Practice Thursday. We're going to practice because, you know, this is live. You don't want to have a lot of surprises.
So it's similar to what we just did, where you get to watch Rick work. He instructs live, and you can interact with him as he's doing the work.
And
I think these are great presentations.
They are.
Again, ricksammon.info, SAMMON.info, and you can find out more about the Creative Live. You have other workshops too, right?
Tons. Master your flash. I love flash.
Master your flash. That makes me. I have all this gear, but I don't know how to use it. Makes me want to.
Well, you're a good assistant. If you come on my workshop, you'd learn, right?
I can hold.
Catherine's a great photographer.
She's a great model. You're lucky to have such a good-looking model.
Aww,
I'll tell you.
You
came. You come out great. I tell you.
So yeah, his tips. We already went over one, which is take the darn flash off the camera.
Right.
We also had lighting illuminates, shadows defines, which we touched on.
Lighting illuminates, shadows define. Okay.
And then your final tip was the closer to your subject, the more intimate the shot, which we also talked about.
Mm-hmm.
So those would be the three takeaways. And then what about gear items?
He just saved me, by the way, a lot of money. I was going to buy that 85mm, F1.2.
The
$2,000 lens. I guess I won't get that now.
Well, if you're working in very low light, if you're a professional wedding photographer, if you're a port photographer.
This is just till next show. Well, the next guest will change his mind.
Everybody comes to the show. I end up buying something. For Rick, I just have to buy some cardboard.
You know what? You guys were, he was so nice. I'm going to give you the Rick Salmon lighting controller.
the cardboard?
No.
No?
I can't take any. But I have to say, so maybe I should instead be looking at a 35 millimeter
Either get the 17 to 40 or the 24 to 105 millimeter lens. All my friends, if they could only recommend one lens.
You know, that's the kit lens, and I do have that lens.
The 24 to 105.
I love it. It's all I took to San Diego. Took a lot of great shots.
If you're
going to
have one lens and you're traveling.
It's a little slow.
Yeah.
It's a little slow,
yeah.
But you know, if you're outdoors, it's fantastic.
It's and don't
and
be
I have the 17-35.
Right.
So and that's a 2.8. So I'll use that. That'll be my portrait lens.
What's your lens of like? Where do you go the most? Oh, I like that.
My portrait light.
The other problem is you don't want to go to 17 because everybody's nose.
But you got
to
play with the 85. You just got to play with it. And there's the 50, and then there's the 35-1.2. You know, if you like to get more.
I have
more
the 50-1.2.
Oh, well, so you understand.
I love the 51.2.
You get it.
Yeah.
If you
I
have
love
the 50.
That razor-thin depth of field.
Yeah. Yes. You know, and you bring up a good point. Like, you get the eyelashes in focus, and the nose will be out, and the ear will be out of focus. Yeah.
So
razor...
I have a technical question on that. I notice
don't
a lot...
Don't put me on the spot.
The 85...
I'm getting nervous here.
Uh-oh. Well, the 85 and the 50, anyone, when you shoot at 1.2, the sides vignette. Have you noticed that? They get dark around the sides.
And what f-stump?
1.2. When you shoot wide open, a lot of times it vignettes on the sides.
I haven't seen that. Well, I don't have that lens.
Right,
well,
maybe the hood. Are you using the lens hood on? I wonder if that's doing
that. No. It's just.
I don't think it should.
Yeah, it does.
But it does.
It darkens down a little bit.
So you go into light.
It gets really. It gets
you go
richer.
Into Lightroom and use the vignette, right? And
de-vignette.
It saves me a step in Lightroom.
I always put vignettes on. What are you complaining about?
No, I actually really like it. I'm just wondering what causes it technically.
I think there's a setting inside your camera where you could do that.
You know, I'm going to, next, an upcoming show, I will explain it.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know,
that's with the 85?
When I shoot wide open, it darkens.
Now I have to buy it just so I can see.
Yeah, but if you go in your camera and
that natural vignette, it's worth it.
If you go in your menu and you change the spatial contingency, curvilinear aspect function.
He's just saying this stuff now.
He made that up. That's custom. That, by the way, that's custom feature 42.
That's custom 42?
Right. That's the one. RickSammon.info, RickSammon.info. Lots of great instruction there. The books. The truth is that you're an inspiration, and that's really why we love you, because you make us want to take more pictures. And your joy and your love of it and the great shots you get really make us, I say us, I mean me, want to go out there and take more pictures.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
You guys
really
are great.
Inspiring.
Yeah. So nice to have you in studio.
Oh, it's great.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
It was nice to meet your wife, too.
Yeah, she's back here, Susan Salmon.
Yeah, so nice to meet her.
You guys are great. Love you.
All right.
Love you, too.
Hey, we thank you all for joining us. We do this show Wednesdays, 1:30 Pacific. There I am. 1:30 Pacific time, 4:30 Eastern time at twit.tv. Did I say Wednesday? It's Tuesday.
It's Tuesday.
Tuesday, not Wednesday. And make sure that you tune in for the live show, because it's always a lot of fun.
Oh, gosh.
Next week we have we've gotten a lot of requests for him, Jeremy Cowart.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's going to be a great show.
And I've got a lot of requests from me for where do I see the pictures that you took, the sexy pictures that you took. Where did those go? The boudoir stuff that you did. Didn't you do some of those?
Well, we did. There's shots from the session on the last episode.
That's the only place I can go. Huh?
There's no more. If you're looking for more scantily clad
things,
then you're
going
to have to
for.
Come steal my computer.
Catherine Hall is at CatherineHall.net or CatherineHallStudios.com. It's so great to have you back.
Yeah, thank you.
And she looks so great. And what a good model you are. Are you enjoying this
modeling? Yeah, it's fun. When you have great photographers.
She's good, right? You've got to make the person like you. She knows all my magic tricks now.
Yeah.
That's great.
I know. I learn a lot, and it's fun.
And we'll see you right back here next time for Twit Photo. Take care. Great show. What fun. I love getting up and walking.
That was so cool.
You guys are too much fun.
I wish I could have done more. It was so fun.
Yeah. And thanks to Jeff Stewart, who was in handheld.
Yeah,
great job.
Oh, yeah. You guys, Twit team that did all that.
Team Twit.